All right, welcome in. This is our Global Christianity class, and we're glad that you're here this morning. I want to open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get started, okay? Thank you, Lord, that you have a heart for the nations. Thank you that you give us an opportunity to have a part in your global work. We pray that this morning you would help us to see more about the different ways we can be a member of the team that extends your name and your fame to the ends of the earth. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so does anyone else need one of these? Anybody else right here? Who has the leftovers of these? Jonathan, I think there's a few more people that need them. Just raise your hand if you still need one of these. All right, we're gonna start right at the top with just kind of our overview sentence. And if you're filling in the blanks, you'll see the blanks there. But I just want to start with our overview sentence. What is a global Christian? Because that's what we're talking about in this class. A global Christian is someone who shares God's heart for the nations.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Well, good morning, John.
Welcome to Gospel Growth.
This is a parenting gospel growth.
We are on our third week through this course.
We're just going to wait a minute.
Pastor Will set the foundation for us the first week. Pastor Josh was with us last week.
Thank you. Yeah, everything's broke down. It all goes down.
And raising our children. And today, got a topic that is just super controversial.
Oh, what are you going to say, John? Well, there's like your teaser. You're going to have to listen online. All right, super controversial. All right, so my recording, I'm just going to start this again. So Welcome to the Global Christianity class this morning. All right, a global Christian is someone who shares God's heart for the nations and seeks to live intentionally for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. So if you're filling in those blanks, someone who shares God's heart for the nations and then seeks to live intentionally for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so what we're doing in this class is each week we're just trying to focus in on one integral role of what it means to be part of a missionary team. So we talked week number one about what it means to be a neighbor, because it seems inauthentic for us to send away something that's not happening here. Like, oh, we really care about lost people over there, but not here. I mean, that seems inauthentic. So we just talked about neighboring week one. And then last week, Pastor Jotham talked about welcoming. So a neighbor, a welcomer. The third one, the one we're going to talk about today, is what it means to be an intercessor. An intercessor. And then there's a sender, a goer, and a mobilizer. So that's kind of the overview of our class together. Each role is important in the outworking of God's plan. And so we're going to look today at what it means to be an intercessor. Now, from a global Christianity perspective, an intercessor is someone who prays fervently and expectantly. It's someone who prays fervently and expectantly for gospel advance. So, I mean, you can intercede or pray on behalf of another person or a cause, but when global Christianity, when we think about what it means to be a global Christian, we're praying fervently and expectantly for the gospel to advance among the nations. Now, I love the fact that being an intercessor is a big part of what it means to be a global Christian. I mean, I think it's significant that we include this piece. Why is it so important that in a gathering like this, in a church like ours, that we don't just jump to goers, but we actually talk about prayers, like intercessors? Why is it so important that we pause and talk about that? What do you think? Why is it important that we include this on the missionary team? Why? Okay, because missions is a spiritual work. And so spiritual prayer, spirit-led prayer, is significant. Why else is it important? Yeah, Frank?
You can wind up with work over there that's an inch deep and a mile wide.
Okay, something that's not deep, it's just wide, but not spiritual. It needs God's hand in this. So we pray.
No stain, no.
Yeah. What else? Why else is it important? Why is it important for us to talk about this? Prayer. Being an intercessor as part of a missionary team. Okay?
Well, it keeps the depth here, too. I mean, you send people out, but we've got to have the focus as well.
Okay, good. I mean, how many of you are independently wealthy, like your trust fund? Oh, thanks, Laura is. She's a no. Okay, well, maybe some people are poor, and they can't send a lot of money when it comes to missions. Or how many of you speak 14 languages fluently? You're like, I didn't pass Spanish too. You know, like, some of us aren't good at languages, so maybe we're not going to be the language learner. Maybe we don't have a storage of wealth to give. Maybe we actually, maybe we're older or we're sick and we can't travel as well. I mean, think about the poor or the sick, people that don't do language, can't travel. Can they still be part of a missions team? And the answer is yes, you still can. You can be an intercessor. I have a pattern on most weekday mornings. Here's my pattern. I get up and I try to make it to the gym for the 8 o'clock class. That's kind of my goal. What that means is I get up and make a cup of coffee. That's kind of stop number one. And when I turn on the coffee maker, my dog wakes up. So my dog comes out, rolls over on his back, wants his stomach rubbed. And then he wants to follow me out to go next door. See, we live in a duplex and my in-laws live next door. My 90-year-old father-in-law has an unhealthy pattern of feeding my dog table food. So my dog knows every morning, Lucas will rub my belly, but Pops will fill my belly, right? And so he follows me all the way around the house and I just open the door at about 7:30. I open the door and my dog just goes in and Pops yells from his seat, "Good morning." Almost every morning, I know right where Pops is at 7:30. He's sitting in his assisted lift chair. And do you know what he's doing? He's praying. He has a prayer list of all of our missionaries. And he just prays through it. That's what he does every morning. Do you know my 90-year-old father-in-law can be part of the missionary team? He needs an assisted lift chair. He's not going to learn any more languages. He's not going to travel abroad. He couldn't do the flight. But he can be part of the missions team. You know why? Because he prays every morning for them. So this is an important task. I think it's important for us to know that intercessors are important parts of the missionary team because they pray fervently and expectantly for the advance of the gospel among the nations. It's essential. It's foundational. You can pray. Now, I wanted to spend the first part of our time together just talking about why we should pray for missions. In other words, I think if we voted this morning, like if I had a vote this morning and said, now, how many of you are in favor of prayer for missions? Oh, let's go ahead and do it. How many of you are in favor of prayer for missions? Like we'd all, okay, unanimous, it passed. All right, we're dismissed. You know, like, I think we all know that we should pray for missions, but I'm not going to ask the next question to vote. But I don't know that all of us really spend the time, fervent energy, or focus in prayer for missions. And I just wanted to start today just by helping you just reaffirm deep in your heart that this is important. Why is it that we should pray for missions? Well, I want to see if you can pick it out from this verse. So the first one, I'm just going to read you the verse, and you see if you can fill in this blank. So you see the first one there because of the blank of the text. Here's the verse. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We should pray for missions because of the
the
what?
The scope.
Yes, the scope. I think that helps us, right? The word scope. Think about the breadth or the scope of the task. Here's Jesus. He looks at his disciples and says, you go and make disciples of all nations. Or think about Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We're in the book of Acts together, the church. But think where Jesus, he's about to ascend up in heaven. And he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and what? I mean, to the ends of the earth. Can you just think about the scope of this task? He wants us to go to the ends of the earth. He wants us to make disciples of all nations. I mean, the magnitude of that responsibility requires prayer. God's heart is for the nations. Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 67. Psalm chapter 67. It's interesting how the psalmist kind of underscores the magnitude of the missionary task in Psalm 67. He starts with a prayer that all of us have probably prayed in some way or another. Maybe we didn't use these words exactly, but we pray this way. God, would you just bless me today? God, would you just help things to go okay for me today? God, would you help things at work to go well? God, would you give me a promotion? God, would you help me with this task? God, would you help me? I mean, we pray that way a lot. Look at how it starts. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. We pray that part a lot. But notice verse 2. Here's why you should pray for God's favor and blessing. So that God's ways might be known on the earth. His saving power among what? All the nations. Do you see that? And then look at verse number 3. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Do you see, God has a heart for the nations. God has a heart for all the peoples, that they would be glad, that they would sing for joy, that they would praise him, that they would know his saving power. He wants to save people from every corner of the globe. And God has sovereignly chosen us to be part of that process. So here's why we pray. We pray because this is a big job. We pray because even what remains in our day is huge. To go to the ends of the earth, to get to these peoples that the psalmist talks about, or the nations that Jesus commissioned us to go and make disciples of, it means that we would have to take the message of Christ to the 9.6 million Adi Dravida people in India, or the 7 million Tajik people in Afghanistan, or the 7 million Yemeni people in Yemen, or the 13 million Mali people in Bambara, or the 13 million Hui people in China, or the 38 million Hausa people in Nigeria, and the list could go on and on. The unreached people groups total up to more than 100 million people. Just want you to feel the weight. That's just the unreached people groups. Feel the weight, the scope of this task. That requires prayer. That requires prayer. It's a God-sized task, and that's why we should pray for missions. Mark Dever once said, the sovereign God uses the means of our prayers to accomplish his purposes. In other words, the Father is pleased to do his good will in response to our petitions, and so we pray. Do you know the earliest Christians understood this? We're going through the book of Acts. I hope you've been picking this up. You go through the book of Acts, and what do you find Christians doing regularly? They're just praying. They're praying. They're praying. We pray because God has given us a God-sized task. Here's the second reason we pray. We pray because it sets gospel power loose. John Piper put it this way once. He said, prayer is God's instrument to release the power of the gospel. Prayer is God's instrument to release the power of the gospel. Think about Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It says, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And so what is prayer? It's just asking God to set the gospel power loose. There's a famous mid-19th century man named George Mueller. How many of you have ever heard of George Mueller? A few of you in this room. He was known for his passionate prayer life. In his autobiography, this is what he wrote. He said, I am now, in 1864, waiting upon God for certain blessings for which I have daily besought him for 19 years and 6 months without one day's intermission. I mean, I just pause at that. He prayed for 19 years and 6 months about these particular petitions without missing a day. Still, the full answer is not yet given concerning the conversion of certain individuals. So what was he praying for 19 years and 6 months, every single day? He was praying for the salvation of some particular people. He writes, in the meantime, I have received many thousands of answers to prayer. I've also prayed daily without intermission for the conversion of other individuals about 10 years, for others about 18 months. And still the answer is not yet granted concerning these people that I've prayed for 19 years and 6 months. Yet I'm daily continuing in prayer and expecting the answer. And then he writes this in his autobiography. He writes this, be encouraged, dear Christian reader, with fresh earnestness to give yourself to prayer if you can only be sure that you ask for things which are for the glory of God. He says, give yourself for prayer as long as you're praying for things that glorify God. Give yourself to that, he encourages us. Let me just tell you, friends, you can give yourself to prayer for the spread of the gospel, that people would be saved, because God is glorified in that. What's interesting is he was praying for five people. Those 19 years, 6 months, he was praying for five people. During his lifetime, three of them came to know the Lord. And then within 18 months after his death, the other two received Christ. Jesus put it this way, pray and do not lose heart. That's in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. So when it comes to mission, we pray because it's a God-sized task. The scope of the task is huge. And we pray that God would just set loose the power of the gospel. That basically, like, the lion of truth would be released from the cage, that it would go out. And so we pray that people would be saved. Here's the third reason we pray. Why pray for missions? Number three, because when it comes to missions, there is a spiritual harvest to bring in. There's a spiritual harvest to bring in. Look in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. Matthew chapter 9. I want you to feel the heartbeat of Jesus in this text. Begin in verse number 35. See if you can feel the heartbeat of Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." We pray because there's a spiritual harvest that needs to be brought in. We pray because the laborers are few. I just wonder if you have prayed that out of our church that God would send laborers into his harvest field. Do you know what? I think sometimes people don't pray for it because they're afraid that God might answer the prayer. You already know by sending them, you know, like, Lord, would you send somebody? Just not me, you know. No, you can't pray that way. There's a great harvest out there, and we're supposed to pray that the Lord would send laborers. Maybe that means us. But we need to pray that here at Gospel Grace, that leaders would be trained, that goers would be sent. I like to put it this way. We just did the Super Bowl, you know, and when you watch football, you have to realize there has to be layers of players because somebody gets hurt or somebody's tired or somebody gets... You have to have layers of players. When it comes to missions work, I've been praying that we would send layers of players from this church. You know, so like in Southeast Asia, it wouldn't just be Dan and Christy, but I hope that in a couple of years, we send another layer of people. And I hope a few years after that, we send another layer. And I hope a few years after that, we send another layer. I was just on a Zoom call with a mission agency that's helping our church with Dan and Christy in Southeast Asia. And we were talking about a people group that Dan and Christy are interested in. It's in the northern part of their country, and there's some different spots where this people group exists, but they're separated, maybe by mountains or maybe by forests. They're separated. It's the same people group, but they're in different spots in this part of the country. And I was just talking with the mission agency, like, it would be really our church's burden that Dan and Christy could go to that people group, but then we'd be able to send other people to get to the different spots where this people group exists. I mean, I want you to think about it this way. Imagine like Minnesota, it's the land of what? 1,000 lakes, right? Or 10,000 lakes or something. It's got lots of lakes. when you take a rock and you throw it into a lake, all of a sudden there's these ripples, right? And they extend out from where that rock is, but they can only get to the shore. The ripple doesn't jump over the land and get to the next lake. It doesn't work that way. And I was just thinking about these people. Here's this one people group in different spots. What if our congregation right here could send laborers among that people group in these different spots? Just different layers of players. We need to pray because there's a spiritual harvest to be brought in. We need to pray that more teams would form and more of our members would be sent. I was reading about the first Bible translation here on the American continent. Do you know what language it was translated into? It was in Algonquin. It was a man named John Eliot. He crossed the Atlantic in 1631 and at the age of 27 became a pastor of a church in Massachusetts. For the next 15 years, he just engaged in pastoral ministry there at that church. But he couldn't shake the fact that there were 20 different tribes of Indians, American Indians, in his vicinity. John Eliot was so gripped by the idea of being an ambassador for Christ that at the age of 40, he began to learn Algonquin. He deciphered their vocabulary, their grammar, their syntax, and ultimately translated the Bible into Algonquin, and it became the first published translation of the Bible here in the American continent. By the time John Eliot was 84 years old, there were numerous American Indian churches with their own Indian pastors that were pastoring them. And I just think it's because he saw there was a harvest field and he prayed and the Lord sent him. This is what John Eliot wrote. He says, "Prayers and pains through faith in Christ Jesus will do anything." So we pray for more workers. Here's the fourth reason why we should pray. We should pray because mission endeavors always face opposition. They always face opposition. In Acts chapter 13, verse 8, that's the story we just learned about a few weeks ago here in church about Elymas the magician. He opposed Paul and Barnabas, it says, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord?" We pray because there are constantly people who are opposing the good news, who are trying to make crooked the straight paths of the Lord, who are opposing the spread of the gospel. This is Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Romans 15, 30. "I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea." Paul is praying because he's facing this opposition of unbelievers in Judea. Or maybe one more, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. "Be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. Put on the what? The whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers in this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God." And then Paul puts this, he says, "Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." There is hellish opposition towards the spread of the gospel. There are false teachers out there. There are harmful unbelievers. There's a spiritual battle that rages. And so we need to pray. The weapon of the church is prayer. Pray. So why do we pray for missions? Well, because of the scope of the task. Because the gospel sets loose the power of God unto salvation. Because there is a spiritual harvest to bring in, because mission endeavors always face opposition. And here's the final one. We need to pray because evangelists need boldness and clarity. Boldness and clarity. Let me just ask you something. How easy is it for you to share the gospel with your friends? Yeah, you're like, "Yeah, it's pretty easy. I just do it all the time. It's really easy for me to get into those conversations and always have the right answer. It's really easy to answer all of their questions. You know, it's really easy." No, it's super hard, right? It's super hard for us in our language, in our culture, to do this. Think about crossing a culture, learning a second or third language, and trying to do this. I mean, we need to pray that they would have wisdom and boldness and clarity in sharing the gospel. I mean, this is what the early believers prayed for. Let me just read for you Acts chapter 4, verse 29. These are the believers in Jerusalem praying. They said, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness." Or here's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, making supplication for all the saints. And Paul says this, "And pray for me, that words may be given to me, that I might open my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I might declare it boldly as I ought to speak." He's saying, pray for me, that I would have boldness. Here, this is an interesting verse. I don't know if you've ever noticed this one. It's in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Paul is asking for prayer that he would have clarity. This is Colossians 4, 3. "Pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak." So I just love this. These are prayers for boldness and clarity. And that's what we need. We need to pray for our global workers, that they would have these things as they try to share the good news. If you read Dan and Christy's email updates, you know that Christy has finished her language learning. And so she has begun trying to write out how to share the big story of the Bible in the majority language there in that country. And she's done it with one person. It was great at some points, and then in the end, this person has distanced themselves and maybe not interested right now. So Christy's starting a second time with another person, one of her language helpers, where she's just trying to share the big story of the Bible. So what do we pray for Christy? Well, we pray for boldness. We pray for clarity, right? We pray that the power of the gospel would be released in that place. Now, I've tried to show you why we should pray for missions. Now, I want to help you with some practical suggestions about what we should pray for. So this is super quick because we're about out of time. But I just put down four things. And then I brought a book in here that actually has four pages of things. You can come up here and just snap a picture of these. I marked it with this little tab. Has four pages of things to pray for our missionaries. So if you're interested, so what should I pray for? If I want to be an intercessor, how do I do that? You could snap a picture of these pages right here, four pages, to help you pray well for our missionaries. But I just wanted to highlight four of them. Pray for their safety. Remember, there's opposition. Pray for their safety. Pray for open doors. This comes from Acts. If you remember in Acts chapter 14, verse 27, it says this, that God is opening a door of faith for the Gentiles. So what we need to do is pray that God would open a door of faith among, like this morning, we're praying for the Dao people, that God would open a door of faith. So pray for that. Pray for safety. Pray that God would open doors. Pray number three, that the word would speed ahead unhindered. We don't have time to read all these passages, but that's what Paul ask for prayer for in 2 Thessalonians 3:1. And then pray that the lost would be saved. And Paul is so burdened in Romans 10. He just wants his own people to be saved. And we should pray that way. And then there's four pages of other ideas right here that you can come take a picture of. Okay, I want to close with this. So how can we grow into being great intercessors? Okay, how do we grow into being great intercessors? Let me just give a few suggestions. One, read about the places and the cultures of where our missionaries are. Like, I would love for us to become experts on the region of Southeast Asia. And when we understand that region, we'll know how to pray better, right? Or that we would become experts in the Pacific Islands where John and Jamie Zimmer are. Because if we know that, we'll know how to pray better. Or South Sudan. If we know what's going on over in South Sudan, then we can pray for the Jumas better, right? So, I mean, just one, if you want to be an intercessor, then start reading and learning about the places and cultures where our missionaries are. Number two, read some good missionary biographies. If you want to be good at praying, then read some biographies, because what you're going to learn about are, what are some of the stresses and struggles that missionaries go through? that are probably commonly shared no matter where they are around the globe. Read missionary biographies. You'll know how to pray better, how to intercede better. Number three, put up some prayer reminders. I went to an immersive weekend called Engage Global out in Minneapolis last year. They try to take you, like they took you to a Hmong market and you had to do this like CLA work there, you know, culture assessment stuff there and try to get some cultural artifacts and talk to people and learn something new from these Hmong people there. Or we went to this, to a Somali mall. It was all Somalis, four levels of a mall, and we were supposed to do the same thing. So they have this immersive experience. You stay there for two nights. One of the things I noticed while I was at Engage Global was the shower curtains. You see the shower curtains? Yeah, the shower curtains. I noticed them because they intentionally had these shower curtains that were maps of the world. They were maps of the world because what they intended you to do is while you're spending that time there in the bathroom, whatever you're doing, that you would just take some time to pray. Like, remember the globe, remember the world. All throughout this place, they had different reminders set up to cause you to pray for the nations. And I just thought, couldn't we do that in our homes? Like, put up some different reminders, some prayer prompts that would remind us, to pray. Number four, join an intercession team. This is something that we want to form here at Gospel Grace. We're going to hear more about this at our next missions group meeting. But basically, intercession teams, what we want to do is we want to form teams that will meet up, probably on Zoom or in person if they want. They'll meet up once a month, and they'll just pray together for a half hour for one of our missionaries. It's like a group that does this. And then they'll write a little note, maybe take a picture, and then electronically just send, hey, we're just thinking about you today. Or we care about you, or here's a verse of encouragement. But every month, there would be an intercession group that's connecting with one of our missionaries and just encouraging them in the work and reminding them that they're prayed for. So may we give ourselves to fervent, expectant intercession so that the gospel advances among the nations. All right, God bless. You're dismissed.